Take off your clothes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Trading Places Minute. This is the show where we discuss the film Trading Places 1 minute at a time. I am Tom Taylor. I am joined by my co-hosts, Mike DiMaria. Hello, Mike.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. And over there is Dan Lewis. Hello, Dan.
Hey, how you doing? I'm making coffee right now, so I'll be muting myself for you fans out there. But don't worry. Come back.
You just said you were opening a brand new bag of beans and that you're grinding them and that it's going to be fantastic. And do you? Let me ask you this before we get started. Do you?
Yeah.
Does the smell of freshly ground coffee in anywhere in your mind connect to peanut butter?
No.
There's a sort of thickness to the smell. There's a kind of like under.
Tom, why don't you just shut the fuck up?
I mean, it's so fucking about coffee, goddamn it.
Because I'm telling you right now, this is exactly how I picture you sitting down in your living room.
Yeah.
Just randomly saying this to your family. And they're like, oh, that's Tom. Tom is always coming up with wacky things.
Well, I love when I opened the coffee and I thought, as Tom started the question, I thought, oh, I love this topic. I love this stuff. And as when he went into the peanut butter, I went, "Uh-oh, it's a Tom. We got a Tom."
There is there's a richness, a thickness to the smell that
I'm about to open the bag, and I'm going to report back with that in my mind. Power of suggestion. I'm going to have it.
If there's any connection,
no. The answer is no so far.
I'll accept that.
But
give him some quiet while he does it.
You might open up a new world for me as far as this whole peanut butter connection goes.
You're welcome in advance.
It's a world of bullshit.
Probably.
Strongly possible. But to answer your question or to your observation, Mike, that I just spout this stuff in my home and my family just appreciates it and loves it. My wife's reaction to most of what I say is, am I supposed to reply to that? Do I need to respond to that we just said? No. And I'll say, nah.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Yeah. Are you actually talking to me? Nah. It's all right.
The brand new bag. He's opening
it. Brand new bag. He's got the seal off. He's ripping open the.
You can tell by the bag that it's a craft.
It's a very small bag. Yeah.
It's a craft limited roast.
Brew one bean at a time. He's got his nose stuffed in there.
I'm not joking you right now. Tom is 100% right about this.
Oh, my God. Look at me go.
It not only reminds you of peanut butter, it basically just smells like nice peanut butter.
Yes.
Is it
peanut butter or something?
Is it only a new bag or any bag?
Well, it's when the new bag is when it's initially off gassing.
Yeah.
That's when you get the big smell.
I notice it like if I'm sitting in a Starbucks or some coffee shop and they're grinding the stuff and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, you've got all the time in the world just sitting in a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
telling you something. Smells I'm going to have today. And then he's
Mike, what's your favorite smell?
I open up that bag of coffee and I just smell it and I just vision just punching Tom right in the face.
Mike,
if it was like a Looney Tunes cartoon,
you know
the cartoon.
Hang on a second. Let me smell this again. You know what? Mike is 100% right.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Punching.
I want to punch Tom now.
Really?
Wait,
do I want to? I still have some coffee left in my.
It's got notes of a knuckle sandwich. Mm. I'm getting a knuckle sandwich.
Drinking this cold coffee makes me want to punch myself. That's weird.
And sometimes I get into that zone where I want to punch him and just keep going.
Yeah.
And then you see the sun come up, the sun come down. The calendar just keeps flipping. It's like a year of just punching until he turns to complete sand.
Yeah. You bought one of those wall calendars with like a month on the sheet.
And only then can I rest. Yeah. Only then I can say I can finally rest now.
And enjoy your coffee.
Yeah. There's no remnant. I pounded him into sand.
Well, the bookends?
We haven't gotten that far yet. Say what minute we're doing or anything. This is minute 38 of Trading Places. And besides me being pounded into sand because of something I said about coffee, it begins with Lewis being carted out of the Great Hall of the Heritage Club, still professing his innocence.
And it ends
with Lewis in the police station being offered the option of stripping or being gifted with a new asshole.
Pound, 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 pound.
Ow. I got to say right off the bat, this is one of my favorite moments in the movie. I mean, this minute actually has a couple of them. But right off the bat... And I mentioned this in Blues Brothers. When we did the Blues Brothers and the Bluesmobile collapsed, and they're all those quick shots reaction shots almost of the statues in the area. He does the exact same thing here, John Landis, with the portraits the Heritage Club. Like, he's freaking out, and a thing is happening, a human experience is happening, and the portraits, they just have these quick reaction shots of the portraits, and it's beautiful. I love it. So
just to clarify, yes, you get shots of the, as he's being dragged away, of the judgmental looks of the men in the paintings.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's the
and
history
they act
of this
as
club.
Reaction shots, essentially.
Yeah.
Harkening back to old film experiments that they used to do. Who's the Russian film guy?
God.
Editing thing?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Should have looked this up. Learned this in film school.
I know. Everybody's yelling at us.
Where they took the, you know, they would show one shot of something and then show the same shot of a person's face.
Yeah.
And your mind would make that person, they say, oh, they're that person, they've got an angry, ashamed look on their face. Or if you showed a different shot and then back to the same shot, they'd go, well, they have a loving look on their face.
Like, you cut from a sandwich to this guy with a blank expression, and you're like, oh, that guy's hungry. That guy's a great actor. He's, like, expressing how hungry he is.
Thereby exposing the magic of a montage.
Yeah. Yes. Mike left us, but that's okay. We don't need him. We don't need him. But I've been waiting for this moment since we got to that moment in Blues Brothers, and now my life is full circle fulfilled. This is great.
I feel like I can't keep making my coffee.
Oh, because you're the only other person besides me who can
Mike
talk right
just
now.
Mike just left.
Mike's gone.
And so I'm sitting here making coffee. I can be on mute. I've got an excuse. I'm making coffee for a minute.
That is true.
And Mike just had a bathroom emergency, apparently. Good luck on that number twosies, Mike.
He's been eating a lot of watermelon.
All this talk of watermelon and peanut butter has sent him straight to the chitoir.
It happens to the best of us. You go ahead and make your coffee. I'm going to vamp by saying that I did not realize as I started watching Minute 38 that Frank Oz was going to show up all of a sudden. I was so excited to see him.
Oh.
We love this man. He shows up as the police, I don't know, sergeant or something.
I love Frank Oz.
Mike, Frank Oz is in this movie. Put your things on. Frank Oz is in this movie.
Yeah.
I've never been so excited to see. Oh, you're muted. There you go. You're unmuted. Frank Oz shows up, and I didn't realize I was this far into the movie. I was so excited.
Mm-hmm. We're getting somewhere.
Our friend Kevin Marr wrote to me recently, our guy. He was on Caddyshack for a minute way back. And he said, can we decide, and we may have said this before too, can we decide that Frank Oz's character here is the same guy as his character in the Blues Brothers?
Well, I was thinking the same thing.
We can do that, yeah.
I was thinking the same thing, and I just thought of this now. It's interesting you said that. I wonder if his uniform is the exact same.
Oh, maybe. There must be some, like, he's like a correctional officer dude in the jail in the Blues Brothers, you know, going through all the items of Jake as he's being released from prison.
Chocolate.
I also want to say that he's in my headcanon. I'm going to say that he's also a after this movie, he quit the force and became an estate lawyer, and that's his character in Knives Out. And he recognizes Jamie Lee Curtis, that she used to be a prostitute. But
nobody gives a shit about Knives Out.
Reveal that. That's a good movie.
Nobody gives a shit about because you know what he does after this? If you were really being fucking smart about it and being chronological, he quits the force and becomes a teacher.
Oh yeah.
As part of the FBI. Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes and works for the FBI, and he just administers the test to those two to Dan Aykroyd again.
Yeah. Oh, and before that, after this, he is he works in the American Embassy in.
Nobody knows what we're doing right now.
In American Werewolf in London, also by John Landis.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Mr. Kessler.
Another one I watched.
It's a very good movie.
Love that movie.
I did the opposite of what Dan did. Dan opened up a fresh bag of coffee, craft coffee, and I just remembered that I had maybe a cup and a half left in the pot from yesterday.
Okay.
So I just poured it into yesterday's mug that was still sitting there.
Yeah.
Threw it in the microwave. Now I got some day-old coffee.
It's better than nothing, I guess.
Nothing.
I don't even know.
Nothing might be better.
I guess we're talking about Frank Oz now. We've left the Heritage Club. But Beaks takes him aside, and, you know, we hear, like, the
Did we ever find out what he said to him?
I don't know. Also, I'm like, does he just flat out offer him money or something? He's like, hey, there's $100,000 in it for you if you totally screw this guy over in the
wheels
of justice.
Because I don't think we ever know. We'll have to wait and see, but I don't remember us ever getting any clarification on that.
Yeah, I don't think we do. But he's Frank Oz is looking around very, very like not suspiciously, like, guiltily, like, oh, I hope nobody mm-hmm. overhears this. Like, this guy's talking about, you know, making it worth my while. Doing something nefarious.
What year is it? What year is this movie taking place in?
1983.
Mm-hmm. It's on those clipboards in the back.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. I didn't notice that.
I was trying to read it. I can't. This is like.
Thereby removing any doubt whatsoever as to when the movie is set.
PBBX Memos, 1983. And then there's another one that says something else, 1983.
You know. 1983. That's a good. That's a good one. Tigers were just kind of ramping up, getting that team gelling. Chet Lemon and added to the lineup.
Yeah, that was the year of the Steve Kemp trade, right? Steve Kemp trade.
No, I think that was earlier, 80
was
82. Or 82 or something. That was a little earlier. Yeah. And then trading Steve Kemp, of course, for Chet Lemon. Chester
straight up.
Earl Lemon, straight up.
Chester DeLemon.
What a fucking trade. And then, yeah, great stuff. Although, yeah, 83, I believe, Cal Ripken had one rookie of the year and then took the Baltimore Orioles to the World Series.
Tom knows nothing.
Phillies in five games.
Frank Oz's character name.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Oz is only listed as a corrupt cop in this movie, but he's got a name.
Cop.
He's got a name.
Wait a minute. That's his title is corrupt. So there is. See, I never picked up on that Frank Oz screws him in this movie.
Oh, really?
Maybe I forgot that part. I'll see it in a minute.
Because otherwise, like, it's all. Well. That's actually a really good question. Why does he have to? If Lewis is brought in, with all
this
stuff
on his PCP.
Yeah,
that's
what it was. Oh, he gives it to Frank Oz.
No, yeah, I think something happens where Frank Oz finds the PCP on him.
He does.
I never took it that way. I assumed that it was planted on him, and Frank Oz is not corrupt here. I didn't really read it that way.
Well, it says right in the script.
What's Zeke saying to him?
Well, I know that, but I didn't pick up on it.
Unless the two of them have worked together before, and he's like, hey, the bag of the PCP's in there.
Oh, that's right, of course, because he stops him and talks to him.
Yeah.
But then why would he have to do that if he's bringing in Lewis with stuff in his pockets?
Probably telling him, this is the guy. This is the guy we're setting up.
But why does he have to even say that? Wouldn't a cop who is presented with somebody who has PCP on him treat him the way that he treats him? I don't know.
Because
all you have to do is shoot a scene.
Because maybe he doesn't have the PCP on him right now, and he's telling that's the guy, Frank, and then Frank puts it in his pocket. Or Frank's the one that plants it on him. I don't know.
Yeah. Or check his. It would have been better. You could easily get around it by just at some point while they're dragging him in, Beaks walks by and slips another thing into his pocket,
right.
Adding to it, and then you don't have to have any of this discussion with Frank Oz.
He's being manhandled by Beaks's people the entire time. Yeah. Think it'd be
Beaks.
I want to see. I'm so close to seeing what his name is on his uniform, on his nameplate, but I can't make out.
Take the rest of the day
is.
And figure that out. I'm sure.
I'm going to. Everybody, let's stop what we're doing. Mm.
It's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good day old coffee.
What else happens? So then Lewis is brought before Frank Oz and these other two cops. he's the only. This isn't the lineup. This is just like a bunch of guys who are. Being, I don't know, processed or whatever. And he's the only white guy in a suit.
I like when a police station has a couple of sort of perfunctory Christmas decorations.
Slapped up there.
You know?
Yeah.
Like they threw up a little tree in the middle. They do it every year. They throw the
same
tree up.
Drag it out of somebody's drawer. Yeah.
And then on the clipboard, on the cork board in the background of the whatever the arraignment room is there or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a little Merry Christmas thing just tacked between two of the cork boards, and it's just it's Christmas.
There's a little Santa right there. Yeah,
that's so funny. I enjoy that kind of thing.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more depressing that they just added those.
Right, if they didn't do anything, it'd be less depressing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, they just didn't bother putting up Christmas stuff. But
what's great
hearts.
Is when the two guards or the two policemen bring him in and they give him a fling. And he does this little like kind of move, and he spins right around and goes to his button right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're gonna be making a grave mistake. It's almost like a little dance movie does. You watch it again; it's pretty graceful.
He's great in this movie. Dan Aykroyd's fantastic in this movie.
He really is good.
God damn it! You were making good.
There's a guy in the background with the whatever happened to the checkered pants.
Oh, those are fantastic.
Yeah.
They're a little out of date at this point. So if you're watching in 83, I think you're saying, well, those are a little bit of a passe kind of pants.
Mm-hmm.
But those are
right. They'd be about 8 years old at that point or something. But still, you're going to see. That's the thing about when you see these period movies, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the 80s, you didn't see 80s cars. You saw a 75 car.
Right.
And so that's a good little touch.
Well, it's like now. I mean, it's 2024, but you see 2019 cars, right, on the road.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, 2013 Corolla.
When somebody makes a movie about 2024, it's going to be nothing but Teslas everywhere, which is
exactly.
Actually the case.
No one's going to have my pickup truck, which I have right now.
Right.
My old pickup truck.
Yeah. Take off your clothes. Hey, Mike, a few minutes ago, like a bunch of minutes ago, a bunch of weeks ago, I think when Lewis and Penelope were taking off their clothes, you were trying to remember what movie Take Off Your Clothes was from. And was it this guy right now?
No. It's Take Your Dress Off.
Oh, Take Your Dress Off.
And it's not from a movie. It's from The Simpsons.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
It's Ted Kennedy.
Oh, it is. Okay,
they did a spoof. But yeah, it was Take Your Dress Off. And it's done in the Kennedy accent. Yeah, Take Your Dress Off.
Take Your Dress Off. Oh, that's good.
This guy here is Eddie Jones. Take Off Your Clothes. He's a character. We had an argument about character actors a couple minutes ago. But this guy's a legit character actor who's in everything, including the main thing I know him from is The Grifters. Great movie.
My sister did the makeup on that movie.
Oh, yeah? I think you mentioned
that
before.
Did you not know that? Yeah.
That's awesome.
She was like assistant makeup artist in The Grifters and Guilty by Suspicion with Robert De Niro.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, wow. Big movies.
Yeah.
You know, small movies need makeup too, but she doesn't do them.
And John McCurry is the other guy who says, strip you little shit before I tear you a new asshole. I like how he emphasizes new. Like, yeah, I know you've got an asshole, but you're going to get a new one.
That's his way of calling him an asshole.
I guess it to
another level.
I'm going to improve upon the asshole you currently have. You'll see.
What else? I never watched The Minute, I'll be honest.
For Christ's sake.
I know which minute you're talking about, though.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't.
I did.
Dan, you're making a career decision here.
Who's the other actor that's with the? I feel like I recognize the other cop that's with the. What's his name there? Mel Blanc. What's his name? Not Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc.
Frank Oz.
Owning a gym. You need a workout?
Who's the other guy?
Was sitting with him?
Oh, wait a minute.
That guy. I don't know. I never noticed that guy.
Or now he's sitting with him, but it's the guy who points at him, the other guy.
Yeah, that's the guy's little shit.
The guy who stands up and points at him?
Not the guy not the point guy, but the guy sitting next to him.
I just said it's Eddie fucking Jones from the goddamn Grifters.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Get the cum out of your ears. Christ's sake.
I'm sorry. Keep going. I didn't pay
attention. No, I'm done. It's time for trivia.
For God. What a garbage podcast this is. And that was my fault.
We were doing well.
That was
my fault.
Getting
into the nitty gritty. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you one thing, though. I accidentally watched the next minute. That's a good minute.
It is.
Oh, okay. Well, let's not get ahead of the minute.
I'm just saying.
Of course, we know it's a good minute. It's a good
movie. You've threatened me.
Full of good minutes. Mm-hmm. The whole point.
I think we brought up some good... Before we get into trivia, I do think we brought up some good questions about why exactly Frank Oz needed to be coerced or bribed or corrupted or whatever. It seems like it could have just been like a straight up, this guy was brought to us with drugs on him and we're going to deal with him appropriately.
Should have been more efficient.
Unless it's a guard against his, this is a rich white guy being brought in. We don't want him to get any special treatment. In fact, the opposite. We want him to get...
the treatment?
Or they could have built it way back into the cache. They said, here's the cache. And not only that, we found a bag of powder. He gets dragged off, then they're testing the powder, and that's it. That could have just been done that way.
Oh, Winthrop.
There's lots of way. Oh, Winthrop.
I wonder if, just a question.
Yeah.
How many times, if you're sitting at a bar talking to a grizzled cop to say, hey, question for you. He just started right off there and say, again, a cop walks into a bar.
Yeah, is that God sitting over there?
How about these watermelons?
No, if you want to talk to Pete, if you want to talk to like a cop, say, hey, you know, the white bag, the white powder bag, you know, how many times have you found a white powder bag? Has it ever been not cocaine?
Yeah, just chalk.
Everyone's like, it's cream of tartar.
Yeah, it's cream of tartar. We got ourselves
a baker here, folks.
Hey, boys.
You know what we this got stuff does to cupcakes?
You know what this stuff does? You know what this stuff does if you cream it too fast? You know what this does if you add it to anything but lukewarm liquid? Is that what you were going to do with this?
The little bag of powder found in the movies never does just turn out to be an innocent
I'm talking about in real life, ground up
aspirin. No, I just mean that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's never like, oh, that's where I keep my Alka-Seltzer.
Right.
And after a long time of repeatedly putting Alka-Seltzer in the bag, a bit of powder builds up
there,
which is a sort of a little bit of a detritus from the Alka-Seltzer.
It's confectioner's sugar. I just dusted
a little
confectioner's
sugar.
I mean, I punched him. Cream of tartar.
All right, how about some trivia?
We got ourselves a baker, boys.
Okay, fine. Play the music again.
Okay, we'll do it again. There we go. Thank you, Jimmy. What historic event is the subject of the movie within a movie in Sweet Liberty? Is that the Revolutionary War? The American Revolution? One of those?
Kiss me, my boy. We'll never
the American Revolution. What movie is that from? That is the answer.
Sweet Liberty.
Kiss what movie is that from?
I don't know.
Kiss me, my boy, for we'll never see again. For we'll never meet again.
Stripes.
I don't know.
Starts with a B.
Barry Lyndon.
Right. It's when he gets shot in the stomach. Oop.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
Oop. Then he goes, kiss me, me boy. We'll never meet again.
Well, the late Ryan O'Neill.
Hey, did we mention when we were talking a few weeks ago about Lacey Underall's passing away, Cindy Morgan? We also lost Brian McConaughey from
True Scott. Brian McConaughey contributor, wasn't he?
He was
National Lampoon and other stuff. Obviously a great writer and performer. And
the one doing the best dance in the background.
Yes. Yeah. Now, God is my witness, Herb. All the talking we did about it, I cannot remember. Was that Drew Scott or was that Gatsby?
He's Drew Scott. Gatsby is the guy that we thought was always Drew Scott, bald guy. Gatsby, if I'm not mistaken.
Gatsby
tall,
was in Shauna.
Tall, thin, sort of better-looking man.
Yes.
Is Drew Scott, played by Brian McConaughey. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay. But boy, I tell you, I thought Drew Scott was that guy for decades.
Me too.
I thought it was the bald guy for decades. Because you just assume.
It takes doing a podcast.
Because the other guy's in the background a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Brian McConaughey.
Next question.
How old was Brian McConaughey, by the way?
I don't recall. I'd have to look it up. And I know.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay, you look it up while I ask you, what sport is Andrew Clark's forte in The Breakfast Club? Wrestle? Why, you knew the name Andrew Clark?
I don't know why. It just popped in my head.
Wow, you're good. That is absolutely right. Featuring Clarence Beeks. What country has Dave Whiteman just scored a contract to sell his wares to in Down and Out in Beverly Hills? What
Germans.
A question.
Germany.
I have no idea. The answer is China.
Oh. Yeah, German Barabons. He got caught with German Barabons.
People praised that movie. They were so excited about that movie. It was getting rave reviews, and I saw it, and I was like, okay.
China.
Beverly Hills Cop?
Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Oh, I was thinking. Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
I didn't see Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Don't bother.
I watched it all the time as a kid. We had it on VHS. Oh, really?
We've discussed this before.
I remember it not being good.
We've discussed this before because sometimes movies, for reasons that are totally unclear, people like
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, people praise them. That happens every award season too. Like, you know, they're, you know, shows and movies that are being constantly praised. I'm like, that's a good movie, but
you're
stop
like,
it.
It's okay,
not,
but
it's,
yeah, calm down. Yeah.
Like Succession right now. Succession is winning all the TV awards and everything right now. Succession's a really good show, but stop it. It's not like Variety had like a list of the top 100 TV shows of all time.
Yeah.
And it's like 15 or something.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the matter with you? Stop
that's
it.
Nutty.
Get a little perspective first.
Little perspective. It is a good show.
It's a
great show.
I like
Never
it a lot.
But let's not talk about it like it's high art. Come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's no All Fargo right. or Better Call Saul.
It's no bums. Fargo. I agree.
Yeah. You mentioned Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
I mentioned.
It's on the card.
All right.
No, you mentioned the name. It's the fucking thing of this thing.
Little Richard is in it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's everything's going to shit like he's chasing. It's a big chase scene around the house when he's trying to kill his son or something. Mm-hmm. Or he's trying to kill Nick Nolte.
Okay.
Because his son comes out dressed as a geisha and he's like, oh, Nick Nolte's character made me, you know, accept my true self. And he goes, I'm going to kill you. Mm-hmm. And that's when Little Richard's banging on the piano, singing a whole lot of, I don't know what he was saying. But anyways, a whole lot of shaking going on. But no, the Wall Street Journal, when Detroit sank, like in 2000, before the economy crash, Detroit went under quick. And the Wall Street Journal did an article called Down and Out in Bloomfield Hills as a reference to that movie.
Oh, nice.
And they interviewed my mom in there.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Because she was a business owner and my mom eventually lost her business, but it was because she had a spa. And she was talking about, and they were interviewing her about, like, you know, the decline of the business.
Right.
And they have the steno photos. You know how they do the photos, the black and white, like steno pencil drawings.
Yeah.
My mom was the photo in there.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so if you look up Down and Out, look Wall Street Journal, Down and Out in Bloomfield Hills, and you'll see that article, and they reference my mom.
That's very cool.
You know my last name, so you can look it up. Look it up.
Look it up.
Look it up.
That's awesome. Who did Margot Kidder get into a fist fight with on the set of Little Treasure?
Superman.
Everybody? I don't know.
Say the question again. I'm so sorry.
Who did Margot Kidder get into a fist fight with on the set of Little Treasure? I don't know the movie at all. I don't know.
Let's go with Muriel Hemingway.
Burt Lancaster. I want to see that.
Oh, that fight.
Oh, my God.
Oh, give me Lancaster. Give me Lancaster in that fight. Jesus Christ.
I would take my money.
Hit me now? I come from a generation. I'll hit you right back.
I'm going to tell you once.
I would watch that.
Oh my God. I'd pay pay-per-view. Finally, I'd get a pay-per-view fight if it was Margot Kidder versus Burt Lancaster.
Sunday.
It's all these undercards. Like, it's like lesser known. You know what I mean?
And there's an article, Rainmaker has haymaker for Lois Lane. Actor Burt Lancaster and co-star Margot Kidder got into a brawl while shooting a movie scene, slapping and punching each other until they both were bleeding.
Wow. Gosh. I hate that there's not video. I mean, I don't want people fighting each other and stuff, but if they're going to, I want to see it.
I don't know what came over me, Lancaster said to his daughter. I think he'd be fucking talking to the police at that point.
Interviewed by his daughter later.
Yeah.
His daughter, who was the movie's executive producer, who rushed over to separate his father and Miss Kidder.
Oh, boy.
That's amazing. Sounds like he started it or something.
It is.
I don't know what came over me.
Hater.
Ever since Superman, I can't fucking stand it.
Superman 3. What veteran actor was filming Rented Lips? Gross. When he died of a heart attack on February 25th, 1987. Gross. Rented Lips. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. I'm going to look at the answer so I know. Oh, Mike's going to respond to the answer of this.
Mm.
He likes this actor.
Mm.
Rented Lips. What, are you on a gym?
Running a gym?
The answer is James Coco. James Coco died while filming Rented Lips. Now we all know.
Who the fuck is James Coco?
James Coco? I thought you liked James Coco.
I have no idea what that is.
Who it is.
Are you dead serious? Oh, you know, I'm totally thinking about
Jerry Porter.
He looks like Dom DeLuise.
I'm thinking of Jerry Porter, Mike.
I'm thinking of
Jerry Porter.
Jerry Porter. I'm thinking of somewhere between Dom DeLuise and what's his goddamn name? Young Frankenstein. What's his name?
Peter Boyle.
Gene Wilder.
Peter Boyle.
He does look, I've seen him.
James Coco.
James Coco's around. Yeah, he's a guy. We like him. James Coco. Anyway. What movie?
Wait a minute.
Way off on that I would.
James,
no, I'm sorry.
How do you know who James Coco is?
James Coco.
I'm a little surprised you don't know who he is. He's around all over the place.
If you see his face, you'll know, but I still don't. I have no
was
idea.
Is he not
who he's
in Fatso? The movie Fatso?
No.
Fatso
he
is
looks
Dom
like,
DeLuise.
He looks like
maybe
Dom
he's
DeLuise
in Fatso.
Fatso.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Oh, my God. James Coco.
All fat people look the same to me. I'm sorry. At least I'm honest about it.
He lost a bunch
rent
of weight.
The lips when you can get the lips for free. I don't know.
He also looks a little like Burt Young.
Did he rent them from Lips Incorporated?
He's like a poor man's Burt Young.
That. Lips Incorporated. Great song, by the way. Funky Town.
Yes.
Have we talked about Funky Town at all, the song?
I don't think we've ever talked about Funky Town, Dan.
I find this song amazing, actually.
It is amazing. Some songs live on forever because they're great.
Because it's got a bunch of different like genres in it. The same song. Yeah. It starts off with it's like It's like,
yeah, kind of minimal,
very 80s. The world I've been running right for me.
Yeah,
and ooh, then it goes electronic funky, voice. And then it goes
switches. Yeah,
it's got a little something for everybody in it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
so does
beautiful incorporated.
It is a funky town.
But my best friend's girl is similar in that way. A lot of homages to very several different genres. But go ahead.
No, that's Jesse's girl.
Although I have thought of maybe an 80s, almost a Tarantino universe, where my best friend's girl and Jesse's girl they're talking about the same thing from two different points of view.
Oh, nice. Wow. I like it. Let's do that.
What do you think about every time you hear Jesse's girl, though? What's the image that pops in your head? What movie?
Paul Thomas Anderson, Hollywood, Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, yeah. What's his name? What's the actor's name again? Molina.
Alfred Molina.
He's dancing around in his little bikini, around the robe,
and he's got the Cosmo.
Throwing
the ballet,
firecrackers into the air.
Oh my God, what a great movie that is.
I played along with the charade. What movie sends two sailor survivors of the Eldridge into the future? God. Oh, is this like
The Manhattan Project.
Is it the Manhattan Project? No, close. I always get these two mixed up. The Philadelphia Experiment.
Yeah.
Also not the Philadelphia Story.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's make a movie where we mash up the Philadelphia Experiment, the Manhattan Project, and the Philadelphia Story.
Catherine Hepburn is like, we're in the future.
Doesn't it star what's his name from Eddie and the Cruisers?
Yeah, Michael Perry or whatever.
Eddie and the Cruisers is stupid, right?
Oh, it's horrible, yeah.
We talked about
this. No Eddie and the Cruisers 2, I'll tell you that.
No.
Oh, it's a horrible.
There's Eddie and the Cruisers 2?
There is.
Still cruising.
Saw it.
Eddie and the Cruisers 2, still cruising.
Yeah.
His character,
was
his character.
I
was,
that movie.
Yeah, yeah. And
I mean,
his character was. His character was based on Bruce Springsteen.
I feel like I should do another card because I'm glancing at it and it's got some fun stuff on it that we'll appreciate. So I'm going to do another trivia card. You guys ready? Neither of you is paying a lick of attention. I hate.
Well, because the music
in
Eddie and the Eddie and the Cruiser movie, the music for that movie was composed by John Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band.
Yes,
so that should tell you everything you need to know.
I recall that.
Yeesh.
What city witnesses Paul Kersey's killings in Death Wish 2?
Let's go with...
I have no idea.
Los Angeles.
You are correct. Los Angeles.
Whoa, just totally guessed it.
The coast with the
Who
most.
Who knew that a movie thing would be in Los Angeles?
I'm going to guess that the first one was New York, and then now it's bi-coastal. He's got Death Wishes all over the place.
Death Wish 3, Houston. Death Wish 5, Hoboken.
Who refers to Jacqueline Suzanne and Harold Robbins as giants of 20th century literature in, if Dan knows his stuff, he'll know even before I say the name of the movie, Star Trek 4.
William Shatner.
Captain Kirk. No, that's not true. Mr. Spock. I was wrong. God damn it.
Kirk brought it up. Tom got it wrong.
Spock called them giants, ironically. Okay.
Could be that you're wrong about which movie is the one where they go to. Okay.
That could be.
Could be wrong about the whole movie.
That could be.
Could be.
It all sucks. Got to save those whales. What ocean does Top Gun's climactic battle scene occur over?
Indian.
You're right. Wow. That's good. The Indian Ocean.
I don't know. I just randomly guessed.
Did I already say
Indian
that I finally
Ocean.
Saw that movie? I think I did. All right. I'm gonna move
Top
on.
Gun? Oh, yeah. You did see it.
I feel like I've already talked about this.
I think seeing it at your age would be weird.
Is it not any good, is it? It's not good. And what was amazing is that forgive me if I said this whole spiel before on this show, but the experience of seeing the movie from beginning to end was no different than just being aware of the movie since the 80s, like MTV and previews and stuff.
That's great. You realize as you watch it, you're like, I've gleaned all of this.
Yes. I get like none of this is adding to what I already knew about Top Gun. Tom Cruise, motorcycle, jet planes, whatever,
It's just a silly movie. It really is.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever.
It's kind of dumb, that movie. I love Val Kilmer. I'm a big fan.
And I've never heard one bad word about the sequel, whatever, Maverick.
I've heard it's good, but I never saw it.
I never saw either one of those movies. Never seen.
You never saw Top Gun, and never. Okay, because I thought we talked about it so much with Tom having.
No, I've never seen
it. All right.
Yeah. No, I've never seen it.
It's seeing it as an adult. I mean, as a kid, it's like it's going to be kind of exciting.
I had a better shot of seeing it as a kid. Yeah. I missed it.
It's like you got to get your window there, otherwise.
I went and saw Firefox instead.
It'd be like seeing Star. It'd be like seeing A New Hope right now.
Right.
You'd be like, this movie sucks.
Yeah.
As a kid, I said, you know, I've seen Firefox, and then I saw Sail of the Century. That's two movies that involve F-15 fighters.
Already.
Done.
You've done it. You've already seen the best.
I've hit
ones.
My quota.
Right. That happened to me with helicopters right around the time of Seawolf.
Seawolf.
Airwolf.
Airwolf.
Yeah. And the other
Airwolf.
One.
Murray's
and
Riptide.
Blue Thunder. And,
Blue Thunder.
Yeah. And he had Murray's Riptide.
There was a shark. There was a whole wave of shark movies, if you'll excuse the expression. Go ahead.
You had Riptide.
Here's a question. What Murray's. Caddyshack actor sings, I was born to love you, I was born to lick
your
face.
I was born to... Let's do this thing where we take the trivia question a little bit further.
Okay.
What is the what actor playing what character sings that song at what address? What's the address of the house in which he sings the song?
It is Chevy Chase as Ty Webb residing at 2 Briar. Right?
Exactly.
And the bonus question, does he have a pool or a pond?
Ooh, that's a trick question.
And which would be
There's
good
both.
For you?
Yeah, which would be good for you?
Yeah, which one's good
pond
for you?
Pond would be good for
and
you.
And which actor playing which character asks him that question?
Yeah.
Do you have a pool or a pond back there?
That's Bill Murray playing Carl Spackler.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I love that movie.
Great
love
movie.
That movie so much.
Yeah, we've covered that already.
We really have.
Let's do it again. Let's do another Caddyshack minute. The second minutes.
Caddyshack Redux.
Caddyshack minute two. The Caddyshack one.
You know what we should
two.
Do.
Caddyshackening.
No, we should listen to our minutes one minute by minute, and then comment on the minutes.
Oh
that
yeah,
would be a good
it's
one.
It's an endlessly recursive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like you watch the show on TV, and then you listen to the podcast about the episode. Yeah, so you listen to the episode of the podcast, and you listen to the podcast about the episode.
That's right.
Of the
oh, yeah, we do the thing where we do one-minute podcasts about each of the Caddyshack Minute episodes, bringing it back to minutes so that collection is the same length as the movie now.
Yeah.
And
Dan,
then we go back and do
those. Observations of minute 17. Yeah. That kind of,
so good.
I like
How
it.
Would we be able to do the Dudley story a minute 21 in 1 minute? I don't know. But that's the greatest
that might
podcast
be a
ever recorded. If I may be so bold, sir.
Minute 21 of Caddyshack Minute. Go check it out right now. Go. What 57-year-old, after announcing he was finished with James Bond movies, recommended John McEnroe become the new 007? This is a perfect sort of Jeopardy type. Why are you framing the question this way?
Sean
Just ask
Connery.
Who was...
Or was it the next guy? It was...
I'm going to say it has to be Roger Moore, right?
Roger Moore, yeah. I think for the timing-wise, it's got to be 80. Right. It's going to be around the 80s that this happens.
Yeah.
Can you imagine John McEnroe being like...
Roger Moore. That is weird.
This martini is stirred. It's clearly stirred. Fuck.
Open your eyes.
Open your eyes.
Okay, which actor playing which character said Roger Moore?
That was Martin Short as Jiminy Glick.
That's right.
God, I'm good at this. Nailed so it. Good at Mike DiMaria trivia.
What do you think?
Tell me again.
When's
really
it going to happen,
funny.
Steven Spielberg? Yeah. When are you going to make the movie that really connects with an audience?
Roger.
What's your problem with the Jews?
The great Martin Short.
What did he say that to? He said it to, what's his name, right?
What's your problem with the Nazis? To Mel Brooks.
He said to Mel Brooks.
And Brooks went crazy, right? He laughed like crazy at that question. Yeah. Had to have.
Yep. He said, I'm like, you don't really have
for that. Nazis.
He said, he said something like, you know, why did, something.
Oh, it's so funny, man.
You're not a fan of the Nazis, are you?
That man is a treasure.
But you gotta get to the Nazis.
And finally, what kind of animal is Jonesy in Aliens? I don't know why they specify aliens.
That's probably
the same
a dog.
Animal
I don't know.
Dog, never, it's a cat.
Dog.
Never seen
Kitty
Aliens.
Cat.
I've never seen Aliens.
Really?
You talk about Alien or Aliens?
Jonesy does appear in both of them.
He's probably never seen neither. It's not like he's going to see Aliens, but not Alien.
Hey, your buddy, Dan, your buddy Noah Hawley, creator of the Fargo TV series, is now doing an Alien series, which I'm excited about. Yeah,
I will be interested in it because I find this TV show Fargo to be outstanding.
It's outstanding.
It is really good.
Do you think there's just too much TV? It's too much.
There
shows.
Is too much TV,
too
but
much.
I'm not going to complain
for what?
About it.
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, is it too much?
No.
I would only
too
say
much
too
for what?
Much.
That would be too much.
As somebody who really likes TV and wants to watch all the good shows, I do feel like I will never, ever catch up.
Yeah, I wish there was not enough.
But I think that's a better problem to have than not enough TV.
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. That's why I say too much for against what standard of what are you looking for exactly?
Yeah.
It's like saying people, I think when people go, people suck. Really? Compared to what?
Yeah.
Compared to a conceptualized
volcanoes?
Idea of, I wish there was exactly the right amount of TV shows.
Yeah,
I was in the airport, getting this reminds me loosely of this. I was in the airport and I just wanted a little coffee before my flight. It was like on a connecting flight or something, and I wanted a little one. And I went up there and they had all the cups there, and I go, can I just get a small coffee? And she goes, you know, this is. She points to it and she goes, you know, this is the small, right?
Yeah,
like,
give me the smallest.
It's this little smallest one. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Then I realized she feels the need to warn people.
Like they're not going to
get enough coffee? No, because clearly the only reason she's doing this is that enough people ordered a small coffee, but then we're disappointed that small didn't mean what small was in their head.
Right.
This is so it's like saying I want a small coffee, not. Excuse me, I ordered a small coffee, not
like
a too small for me coffee.
Right, you know
what
me.
I mean?
What would be a good amount for me?
Yeah, right. Just, just give me what you
take
think
a look.
Would be
just
good.
Take a look at me.
Be like sizing you up. Be like about a 31.
Now, out of curiosity, was the to your mind was a small larger than you might expect, or was it smaller?
No, it was genuinely a little 8-ounce cup. It was like an 8-ounce cup or something.
All right.
And
that's,
I didn't care
small
how small. She could have given me a shot glass of coffee, and I would have been like, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
But you know what I mean? Because I'm not in that headspace where I'm like, I want a small coffee, but now I'm going to be upset that the coffee is too small.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like if you're ordering a small coffee, you have to be prepared almost all the way down to a thimble. You have to be prepared in your head.
Yeah.
For how small that coffee is going
to
be.
And you know what? Right. If you go to those craft or little places, the smaller the coffee is, the price goes up too.
And probably the better the coffee is. Probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A place
like
with shitty
tiny
coffee,
bag you of
simply
coffee
you can't
just
afford to give you a tiny little cup of shitty coffee.
Let me tell you something. Right. Instead of going to Dunkin' and paying, what, close to $3 for a medium coffee, I go to the BP, for like $2.80 something
saying,
for a cup of for medium cup
is,
of coffee.
Coffee is $6.
I'll go to in
California.
Oakland it is.
Yeah.
I go to the BP station, right at the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
I get you push the button, it grinds the things.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's like $1.70 and they have like a whole like just bar like a bar
like
there
a bar.
Of all the different creamers. I put some cinnamon in there. I put some like Oreo crumble stuff in there. It's even got some whipped cream. I top it off with a little whipped cream, you know, put a couple pockets of the little pocket creamer in my pocket.
That's really
walk
good.
Out of there.
Nice.
$1.50, $1.60, $1.70.
You're working the system. I
yeah.
like it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm not paying no fucking, paying no 50 cents for no Coke. I'm going to pay over.
You don't get no Coke.
You don't get no coffee.
I've never. Yeah. We always get our coffee from Costco, and I've never broken down like what. I wonder what a cup of coffee in my house costs, you know, based on like the amount of beans we got for what price and how much we use and the you know, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a Costco will mess up your whole conception of what things are supposed to cost.
Yep. Math means nothing anymore.
Right. Did I talk to you about my little Costco trip in Hawaii?
A little bit.
You talked
trip?
A little bit of it. You went right
not
there
much.
As soon
really
as you landed.
Immediately
you
went
there.
To Costco.
Yeah.
So that Amy could get her membership. Because her father had done the thing where it's like extended it to her. We'd never gotten
home?
It. There's a Costco 4 miles from here. We never did it.
Why
right
did
when we landed, she
it?
Goes, let's go to Costco.
Woo.
So we're going to like gear up. We're going to buy bagels and all this stuff. We go in there. And finally, I'm having the Costco hot dog.
Yeah. Good.
And I'm just going.
It's great.
Finally, I'm having a Costco hot dog, and I'm standing on Kauai, a place right. I've never been either. But in my head, I'm going, finally, I'm having yeah. this much vaunted Costco hot yeah. dog.
It was Can very I tell good. You, that's all I did when I was in Hawaii. We were there, I guess, 2 years ago, year and mm-hmm. a half ago. And all I'd be in like, you know, the house we were staying in. I would look at like the little like hinge thing that's holding on the mirror to the wall. It's like a little plastic thing. Mike just fell asleep. But it's like a little just basic nothing. You would see it in Ohio. You'd see it in Connecticut. You'd see it anywhere. It's this little dumb thing. I'm like, oh, I'm looking at that, but I'm standing on an island in the Pacific.
Oh,
Ocean.
My God. I knew it. I knew it was just going to be one of these fucking stories.
Yeah, no, like boy. You just think of like the mundane God. Things around you that you see. It's like just a normal piece of life, but it seems interesting and special because you're in Hawaii.
Yeah,
you're
I'll try that. I'll try that on my next coast trip, of America. Asshole.
Try it. It'll open your mind. No, on that note, man. Now that I'm an asshole, let's wrap this thing up. Let's wrap it up by it's thanking our beautiful patrons. All the beautiful people like Captain America, Steve Rogers, mm-hmm. and Mark Campbell, and Mark Mattis. Mark we speak Mattis, your yep. names. Mm-hmm. Mark Mattis. Mm-hmm.
Damon Ongar,
Bob Gresham.
Yeah, thank you all.
Nathan Shuckman.
Thank you for everybody over there at Patreon who's helping us out. Check us out over there. Check us out on Facebook, all the usual places. But mainly, come back. Oh, you know what you should do to support us and to help us out? Do the good old-fashioned thing where you used to go to iTunes or whatever it is, Apple Podcasts. Give us a nice rating. Give us like some 4 or 5 stars or something, and a nice little review. It'll help us out. It's really nice.
Give us money.
Costs you nothing. Or give us money, yeah, either way.
No, nice little rating, yeah.
Money looks good on you.
Tell the world on Apple how much you appreciate Tom's stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to deduct a star because of that last story,
I was looking
fair.
At this little hook that they put on the back of the door, and I'm sitting here saying, oh, that's a hook that's just like back in Oak Park, Illinois.
It's a little bit like, fascinating.
But you know
it's
what?
Grounding
but
because
standing,
you're...
My feet, hey, boy, come over here. Do you understand that you're looking at something that exists where we live, but we're also, now we're in Kauai?
You're so dazzled by where you are and the reality of it and everything. And then you're like, oh, but you know what? There's like this little drawer pull. It's very normal.
Oh, just punch.
That
punch,
tile over there is so normal.
Punch.
It's
punch.
Just a part of people's lives.
Punch.
Anyway, I'm going to go get punched by my cohorts here. You go do your thing and come
just
back
in
next week.
Just one to the belly, just one to the stomach. Right. And you pat him on the back and then just break the eggs over the back of his head. He just goes down like a sack of shit.
Until he's, and then, like you said, until he's a big pile of sand. And then we make a sandcastle, and then we punch that and crash it.
Yeah.
Watch it fly
just
wham. Pieces.
Just two to the gut, and then pat him on the back, and then wham, right off the back of the top
of
the head.
Fold like a
he just goes straight
too.
Down. Yeah. Just straight down.
Yep. And that's the condition you'll find me in next week for minute 39 of
and then you look
places.
At and then right after you lay him out, you look at here, his boy, and you say, now get outside and breathe some fresh air, kid.
The Trading Places minute.
You're free. No more of that Indiana Jones bullshit. Get out of the house.
It was a stone groove, my man. You are the most righteous.
Yeah, right. Just get the fuck out, man. Let's go. Shit.